Here lately, I've been talking about, a lot about, Brother Kenneth touched on it, what would you have me to do? You know, as we've been given requirements here recently with regard to how we can live and associate with one another and how, you know, social distancing and all those kinds of things. And in all of that, we have to continue to ask the question, Lord, what would you have me to do? We've talked about that a lot, haven't we? Well, today I want to talk about some more things along that line, but from the perspective of, Lord, what would you have me not to do? There's some things in Scripture that tells us not to do. Now, obviously the lesson is for us to learn from that mistake so that we can do what he would have us to do. All right, but I want to take it from the perspective of some of those things that we're told not to do. Wednesday night, we talked about the temptations that the devil presented to Jesus. And I had this strange feeling when I ended that I wasn't finished. So we're going to touch on some more things about that. You'll find that record in Matthew chapter 4 and also Luke chapter 4. It's, I'm going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to say it's probably the most extensive conversation between Jesus and the devil in all the Bible. So you got the Lord who has all power both in heaven and in earth, and you got the devil. And the devil's trying to get Jesus to do some things. Who is this character? The devil. He's not the opposite of God, because that would imply equality. He is a created being. He's got a lot of followers. He's got a lot of angels helping him. He's got power. He's the prince of the power of the air. He operates in this world. Let me tell you, in John chapter 8, listen to what Jesus said about this character. You know, so many people are doing his bidding, you would think he's some great character. Well, listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading in verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil. And we've got a lot of description here of what Jesus says about the devil. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye do. Ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. Why would anyone follow that? Why would anyone want anything to do with that? This is the one who came to Jesus right after Jesus was baptized and tried to tempt him. Now listen. He tried to tempt Jesus. I mean, he did it, but it didn't have any effect. Jesus never tried to do anything. Isaiah had said of him, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. And we fail. We get discouraged. Not so with our Lord. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's our Lord. That's our Lord. So in this conversation, I'm just going to have to touch a few high points because there's some other things I want to get to. But in this conversation, the devil tempted Jesus in three ways. The first one was very personal. You know, temptations are like that. Sometimes they're very personal. Maybe somebody else doesn't even know anything about it, but you know it. It rages within you. You know it, but maybe nobody else does. Sometimes temptations are personal. Sometimes temptations are temptations to do something that can have effect on others. That second temptation, it was that kind of a thing. And then the last one, the devil tempted Jesus that if you'll just bow down and worship me, he showed him all the kingdoms of this world. He said, all of it, you can have it all. You can have it all. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? It's only for this life. It's only for this life. And then you die. Then what? Then what? The pleasures of sin are for a season. A season. So when Jesus is being tempted, or at least the Satan is trying to tempt Jesus, and I want to emphasize this, there was no real temptation there because he wasn't affected in the least by these things. He didn't come into this world to accumulate anything. He didn't come to this world to satisfy himself. As a matter of fact, when he tells us about the first requirement of discipleship, what is the first thing that he says? If any man will come after me, let him do what? The first thing out of his mouth, deny himself. Now, how could, if Jesus is teaching that principle, and if it's so powerful in our lives, then how could he do anything for himself out of God's will? Outside of God's will. See, he taught that. And he demonstrated that. He lived that. The will of God was all that mattered to him. He and the Father were one. Whatever was the will of God, that's what he would do. He said, I do always those things that please him. So when we think about these things that Satan tried to tempt Jesus with, again, Matthew 4 is where it's recorded. Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. You know he was hungry. You know he was weak. When you're in a condition like that, you better watch out. You're the most vulnerable. Whether you're just irritated, whether you're tired, whether you're hungry, whether, you know, those kind of things that really affect us, that's when we need to be on our guard the most. So Satan comes to Jesus and says, command these stones that they be made bread. Could he have done that? He could have. He could have done that. Very easily he could have done that. But what he would have been doing if he did was using divine power to satisfy a personal need. Is that in the will of God? I don't think so. And if you keep reading in that passage, you'll find that when the devil finally leaves him, angels came and ministered unto him. That was the time for that need to be satisfied. After he had done the will of God. God helped him. God provided for him. God blessed him after he did the will of the Father. Can there be a lesson in that for us? Absolutely. Seek him first. He'll take care of you. All right? A lot more we can say about that, but let's move on. The second one, the devil carried him up to the pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself down. You know, and he quoted from Psalm, 91, where he said, he shall give his angels charge over thee, lest that thou dash thy foot against a stone. All right? I did a poor job of quoting that, but you can find it. But he says, you know, God's going to take care of you. So just cast yourself down. You don't have to worry about that. Who is this? The devil? He's a liar. He's not after your well-being. Peter says he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy your life. He wanted to destroy Jesus. He was at the root of Herod having all the babies put to death when he was born. Cast yourself down. In other words, God said he's going to take care of you, so you can just do whatever you want to. That's tempting God. Because those things are not in the will of God. It's God's will that we follow him. It's God's will that we seek his help and his guidance. It's not God's will that we go out and satisfy the flesh and do things that we personally want to do and expect God to take care of us. You see, that was a lie Satan was giving there. He's not operating from a point of loving God and loving the Word of God and trusting God to take care of us. No, he was trying to destroy Jesus. Then Satan took Jesus up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of this world, and told him, you can have it all. My version of that. You can have it all. By the way, when Satan said, command that these stones be made bread, how did Jesus answer? Scripture. Appropriate scripture. Saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeded out of the mouth of God. We don't live by satisfying the personal needs. We don't live by feeding off the things of this world. We live, the quality of your life is from the Word of God. What God says we should do, we should do. And the more we follow Him and trust Him and seek His will in this life, the more joyful life we can have. So, in the second time, when Satan tempted Jesus about cast thyself, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses made mention of a time which is in Exodus 17. Exodus 17, where Moses and Deuteronomy is referring them back to this time when the children of Israel tempted God. They were in there wandering in the wilderness. They were thirsty. And they began to chide against Moses. You find that in Exodus 17. And let me see, in verse 7, I want to read that. Exodus 17, verse 7. And he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? That's what the children of Israel were saying. You know why that tempted the Lord? You know that why that had a provoking effect upon the Lord? You know why they were there? Because God led them there. God had provided for them a pillar of cloud by day to shield them from the hot sun in the desert. And he provided that same cloud to be a pillar of fire by night to warm them and to give them light. And when the cloud moved, they were to move. And when the cloud stopped, they could pitch camp. But they were there in that place, even though it didn't have any water. They were there because God led them there. And now they're saying, is the Lord among us? Well, if they were following the cloud, he was. And they were there because they followed the cloud. And for them to say, is the Lord among us? You see, there was some personal discomforts that they were experiencing, and they were questioning whether or not the Lord still loved them, whether the Lord cared, whether the Lord was looking after them, whether the Lord was still providing for them. You ever asked that kind of a question, or you ever had that kind of feeling? Lord, do you still care just because your temporary circumstances are not what they need to be or what you want them to be? Do you blame the Lord? That's what they were doing. They tempted the Lord. Bless your hearts. That's one thing we're not to do. Because what prompts that is when we're putting more emphasis on our personal desires instead of the will of God. If we're always seeking God's will, asking for his help, and bless your hearts. Going back to that first temptation. Command these stones to be made bread. In other words, satisfy your personal need here with your power. You know, personal needs getting the more attention than they need to be. If you fast forward in the book of Matthew, that's recorded in Matthew 4. If you go over to Matthew 16, you'll find Jesus asking the question, whom do ye say that I am? You remember how Peter answered that question? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did he get it right? He got it exactly right. As a matter of fact, the Lord commended him, said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus pronounces upon Peter that he had been blessed of God. These things had been revealed unto him. He understood it. Now keep reading. You don't have to go very far before Jesus begins to tell them in verse 21 what is about to befall him. He's got to go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer many things of the scribes and the elders. And he's going to be killed and rise again the third day. And this man Peter, who just a few verses earlier had said, thou art the Christ. Now he didn't say you're Jesus. He said, thou art the Christ, the one that should come, the ones the prophets had spoken of, the one that was going to fulfill the purpose of God in saving us from our sins. But when Jesus begins to say what he's about to do, Peter says, not so, Lord, for this shall not be unto thee. Really? Jesus had just laid out the purpose and the will of the Father in saving us from our sin. And Peter says, no, no, no. I don't like that. Isn't that what he's saying? I don't want you to have to do that. That doesn't sit well with me. I shudder to think how many times God's people shy away from the Word of God because it doesn't fit me. That's what Peter was saying. Not so, Lord. Now, we understand that he didn't want the Lord to have to suffer. We didn't either. We understand we didn't want the Lord to die. We wouldn't want that either. But if it's the only way for us to be saved from our sins, even so, Lord, for it seemed good in thy sight. Not my will, but thine be done. And did you remember the lesson that Jesus teaches after that? When Peter said, not so, Lord. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not your desires, your appetite. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Now, Jesus is not calling Peter the devil. But he's saying, you're thinking like him. And that stinking thinking gets us in trouble. Those lies from the devil gets us in trouble. And so Jesus said, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. That's not what we need to do. We don't need to listen to the devil. We don't need to listen to the flesh. We don't need to listen to personal desires above the will of God. That's what gets us into trouble. So, when Jesus, okay, in the next lesson now, after Jesus points this out about his thinking, that's when Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Hear that? Peter, what you just said? You got to deny yourself because the will of God is more important than your personal feelings. If any man will come after me, he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I'm going to tell you something. Those three requirements, they're easy to say, but they're a challenge. But Jesus came into this world to suffer. Remember after his resurrection and those disciples that didn't know who he was on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Yes, he had to suffer. Well, so what if we have to suffer for righteousness' sake? So what if we have to deny ourselves? So what? There's nothing that Jesus calls upon us to do that comes anywhere close to what he accomplished for us and the joys that awaits us when this life is over and the joy that awaits us when we deny the flesh and take up our cross and follow him. That's the best way to stay in the will of God. If any man will deny himself, let him take up his cross. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And like Brother Kenneth pointed out, Luke says daily. 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 Not a day goes by that we ought not to remember that and do those things. So, I've spent a lot of time on that. And so he says, that last temptation, you can have it all. Jesus said, well, the requirement Satan put out there was, if you fall down and worship me, you can have it all. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Him only thou shalt thou serve. Jesus would teach us, what is the man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, we understand from the teachings of Scripture that we're eternally secure in Jesus. But we can make a mess of our life. We can lose our life now. Okay? So Jesus also teaches us that we should lay up treasures in heaven, where moth doth not corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. He says, lay not up treasures upon the earth, where moth doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven. How do you do that? How do you lay up treasures in heaven? How do we obey that scripture? Well, let me give you this. Every time you deny self, give it up. Every time you deny self and take up your cross and follow him above the desires of the flesh, you're making a deposit in heaven. The Lord sees, the Lord knows, he remembers. I'm not talking about earning. I'm talking about what he said, lay up treasures in heaven. If it's more important to us to do the will of God, you know, he said, and Brother Kenneth quoted, if we're doing those things, then all these other things will be added to us. He'll bless us in what we need if we do that first. If we deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow him, we make deposits in heaven. God will decide how you draw on that. Bless your hearts. That's how we lay up treasures in heaven. Because in doing that, it exercises our heart. And it's like Brother Kenneth was talking about reading the Word of God, it'll develop an appetite for it. If you've got the Spirit of God within you and you start feeding that Spirit with the Word of God, it will grow. It'll get stronger. It'll have more influence on your life. But you neglect it, you forget about it, you ignore it, and it's going to be weak. And the flesh that you're feeding all the time is going to be strong. That's what discipleship's all about. Feeding the inner man. Strengthening the inner man. So that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All right? Now, still more to say about that, but I'm going to leave it there. What we need to do, not listen to the devil, not do the things that the Lord tells us not to do, but seek his will and do that which is pleasing unto him. Now, in addition to, if you want to read 1 Timothy chapter 6 sometime, and how that Paul warns us against having such a desire for the things of this world and what that leads to, all right? But I'll just end that section by saying, listening to Satan will never lead us to do what the Lord would have us to do. Never. Okay, there's some other things the Lord taught us in his word. It was a quarter after before we had the preaching service started, so I got a few minutes. One of the things that Jesus, I'm just going to mention several things, just to stir your mind into several avenues of thought that Jesus gives us, that the word gives us, and others have written as well, as far as not doing some things that others have that the Lord pointed out. For instance, Jesus said on one occasion in Luke chapter 9, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I think that has a particular application to the ministry, but it also applies to all of us. If we say we're going to follow the Lord, and we turn back and desire things of the past and ways of the past instead of continuing to press toward the mark and press into the kingdom, the Lord says, any man that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Do we want to be fit for the kingdom of heaven? Do we want to be equipped? Do we want to be capable? Do we want to be knowledgeable? Do we want to be able to follow the Lord in a way that's pleasing unto him? Well, he tells us, by following him, deny self, take up your cross and follow him. That's how we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Another place in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus makes mention of something that Isaiah had prophesied. This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Wow. Honoreth me with their lips, but their heart. There's another thing that we ought not to do, right? He's pointing that out. There were people in that day, and there's people in this day that honor the Lord with their lips, but their heart is far from him. That's something that we need to guard against and guard ourselves. Keep our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Several parables that Jesus taught, several things. Remember the Good Samaritan? Remember the story? I don't have time to read that, but you'll find it in Luke chapter 10. All right? The Good Samaritan. The story was, it was a man that left Jerusalem going down to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And they beat him up and left him half dead. How can he be half dead? You're either dead or alive, aren't you? I take that expression to mean if he hadn't gotten some attention, he would have died. He was on the way out. Like Brother Eddie mentioned about his aunt, you know, if she hadn't gotten some attention, that could have been the case. So when we think about this lesson, notice what happens in the lesson. And I'm going to just give you my thumbnail sketch of it. But there was a priest, right, that saw the man in trouble. Did he help him? No, he just passed by on the other side and left him to die. A priest and a Levite came along, and he, at least he looked at him, came over to where he was, and then he passed by on the other side. Priest and a Levite. My goodness. You see, I know this is intentional. I know the Lord taught this in this way to point out to those Jews that your leaders, their heart is not with the Lord. All right? But then a Samaritan came by. A Samaritan? Let me see. The Jews didn't even consider them human. They considered them dogs. They considered them worthless Gentiles, not Jews. The Samaritan saw the man and went to where he was. That is so important. Because he saw the man and he had compassion. This was what was missing from the other two. This man had compassion. There was a love in his heart for others. He did what he could. He took the man, put him on his own beast, and took him to the inn and poured oil in his wounds and ministered to him. And then gave something to the innkeeper and said, when I come again, if I owe you anything more, I'll pay it. What a difference. Now, who do you think the Lord would want us to be like? The priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan? That's easy. Don't be like those people who don't care. Those people who are too busy in this world to see the needs of others and do something about it. Hey, it's not easy. It's not hard to be busy. It's not hard to have a full schedule. We all can do that. This man stopped. He went to where the injured person was. He ministered to his need. He went to him. He saw to the need. And he stayed with the guy. He stayed with it. And then he made provisions to make sure that the bill was paid when he did go. Don't be like the priest and the Levite. There's enough of that in the world. If you want to let your light shine, if you want to be salt in the earth, you want to be faithful to God, you want to be like Jesus, be like the Samaritan in this example. I'm sure the man was a sinner. I'm sure the man had a lot of flaws. But he showed the love of God to somebody in need. He took care of him. He had compassion. He took care of them. He did what he could. What a blessing. What a blessing. We could be like that, couldn't we? We need to be like that. The church needs to be like that, so that the light can go forth from this place, so that we can have a good influence. Let's be like that, not like the priest and the Levite, right? There's another passage Jesus taught. Remember, oh, by the way, the Good Samaritan, do you remember what prompted that parable? A lawyer stood up, said, "Master, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? What can I do?" You think that lawyer liked his answer? Do you like Jesus' answer? Because regarding, you know, Jesus asked the question at the end of that, "Now, which one of them was a neighbor and a man in need?" The lawyer said, "Well, I suppose it was the last one." Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." That's what he would have us to do. Not what the priest and the Levite did. All right. Another thing that Jesus taught. I'll have to be quick. In Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 is a man that we often refer to as the rich fool. Remember that? The rich fool? A certain man, his fields brought forth plentifully. Right? Fields brought forth plentifully. And the man said, "What shall I do? What shall I do?" He didn't have any room to put all that the fields had brought forth. He said, "I know what I'll do." And when you read that passage in Luke chapter 10, take particular notice of how many times the man, the rich fool, said, "I." What shall I do? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, I'll build bigger barns, and I'll say to my soul, "Soul, take thine ease. For thou hast much goods laid up for many years." I got enough. I've got it made. I can take it easy for the rest of my life. Where is his any desire for anybody else? Where's his willingness to do what he can to help others with what he has? I don't find it. It's not there. And the Lord appeared to him that night and said, "Thou fool, This night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose shall all these things be? You know, in a sense, he in his little world, he gained the whole world. What good was it? What good was it? His soul was required of him that night. This is obviously one of those passages where the Lord says, don't be like that. Because not only did the Lord require that man's soul that night, but he goes on to say at the end of that, that thus shall it be. Let me read that. I want to get that wording right here. Verse 21, Luke 12, verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Sounds like all these things are connected, doesn't it? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. How can we be rich toward God? By doing his will, by denying self, by seeking God's will for us in this life and doing what he's told us to do, we lay up treasures in heaven. We're rich toward God instead of laying up treasures for ourselves. So is he. So the Lord's saying, now, even for us today, you listen to that and you hear. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I think that's something that we need to lay to heart. All right. In Luke chapter 19. Now, this passage is also given to us over in Matthew chapter 25. Luke describes it a little differently, but there's so much similarity here, it must be the same parable, but just given from a little different perspective. But in the Lord speaks of a man that's going to take a journey, and he gives his money, his talents, he calls it, to 10 of his servants. All right, and then he comes back and requires his money. Requires what he had given, put in their trust. He comes back and he wants to know for them to give an accounting of his money, what he had given them to take care of. You know, before we get too far, I don't want to forget, the Lord has entrusted us with some things, hasn't he? The Lord has entrusted us. He has given us his truth. He has blessed us. He's revealed to us his truth. He has blessed us to know the truth. What are we doing with it? In that parable, we find that he expected them to use it and grow. He expected it to grow. Are we doing the things that would cause an increase in the things of the kingdom of God? You know, the first one came and said, here is thy pound, and it has gained 10 more. And the Lord said he was blessed. Blessed are you. Another one came and his pound had gained 5. And he pronounced a blessing upon him. He had used what God had given him. It had increased, and if you use it in the right way, it will increase because God will bless it. If you're using it in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord, he's going to bless it to grow. Our understanding, our discipleship, our fellowship with God's people, our witness before others, all these things can grow when we use them in the right way. But there was one that said he knew that his Lord was an austere, a severe, a hard man. And so he hid what the Lord had given him. Well, it didn't grow. Nobody received any benefit from what the Lord had given that man. He didn't use it. And it was taken from him All right. Let me turn to that part of it. Luke chapter 19. What I want to get to, well, this man said he knew that the Lord was austere, which means severe, or Matthew's account says a hard man, a lot of requirements. And the Lord said to him, I'm in Luke 19, verse 22, and he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? In other words, what he's describing here is that what they should have done to make good use of what the Lord entrusted them with. Whatever the Lord has entrusted to us, we're supposed to be a good steward. We're supposed to take good care of it. We're supposed to use it in a way that's pleasing to the Lord so that it can have an increase in whatever way the Lord blesses. All right? Then he goes on to say, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, the 1 pound that had been given to him, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. In other words, they weren't pleased with the fact that the man that had the most was going to get even more. Well, who had used those things the Lord had given him the most? Who had been blessed of the Lord with the most increase? The one that had used what the Lord gave him in the best way. And so the Lord continued to give to that man. All right? For I say unto you, all right, here, listen, if you hadn't heard anything else, listen to this. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. What happened to that man who had the one but didn't use it? It was taken from him. What does he mean by everyone that hath, it shall be given, and everyone that hath not, it shall be taken away? Let me give it to you this way. In connection with everything that we've talked about, he that hath is the one who hath in his heart a desire to do the will of God. He's the one that's going to be blessed. He's the one that's going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one who set his affection on things above, not on things on the earth. He's the one that's laid up treasure in heaven, not laid up for himself treasures upon the earth. He that hath is the one who hath a desire to do the will of God, which means he'll deny himself. He'll take up his cross. He'll follow the Lord. He'll use what the Lord gives him faithfully to God's glory. That's what we're to do. We're not to do like the man who had the 1 pound and just buried it in the earth, and it wasn't good for anybody. We're to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. We're to do that which use what the Lord gives us. And when we use it in the right way, he will bless it. He'll bless it to grow. He'll bless it to increase. He'll bless us to have more of an impact in the kingdom of God. And that's what we need. And that's what this nation needs right now. It's for God's people to get serious about serving him. He's allowed this thing to come upon us, perhaps because we've been asleep. Maybe we've buried what he'd given us in the earth, just waiting for him to come back so we can give it back to him. He expects us to use it. He expects us to be faithful. See, there's nothing that God has required of us that even comes close to be compared to what we'll be blessed with in the future. We'll never lose anything in this life that'll even come close to being compared to what we receive, not only in heaven's pure world, but in faithful service to Him while we live here. The disciples one time said, "We've forsaken all. What shall we receive?" He said, "There's no man that had left houses or land or father or mother for what he'll receive 100-fold in this lifetime and in that which is to come." Oh, as we think about, what would you have me to do? There's a lot of places in Scripture where we need to notice the things that he says we're not to do. There's a lot of people recorded in Scripture that made mistakes, that didn't do what they should have done. They did something else. But the Scripture is faithful. That's why it's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. We don't have to make all those mistakes ourselves. We can learn from the mistakes of others because it's right here in God's faithful word. May God help us to apply ourselves to this word. May God help us to observe those things that he says not to do so that we'll be found doing those things that he would have us to do. May God bless you is our prayer.